Because we want to tell you all about the women's leadership class that is going on here this week. So you can't see them right now, but we have a room full of women. They're streaming in and they're in our audience right now. So we're gonna get close. Oh, you know what? It's 3 o'clock. Activate Live starts now.
Activate your voice. Activate it now. Live from Maryland, this is Activate Live.
Welcome to Activate Live, our weekly show about the Machinists Union, organized labor, working people, and community partners. I'm Tanya Hutchins, coming to you live from Classroom A of the William W. Wimpasinger Center here in Hollywood, Maryland. We begin, though, first with some somber news. The IAM is mourning the loss of two members from Local 1202 and three employees of the Henry Pratt Company in Aurora, Illinois. All five were killed in a shooting at the company last Friday, February 15th. Russell Beyer, Vicente Juarez, Josh Pinkard, Clayton Parks, and Trevor Wayner. We'd like to show our respects with a moment of silence. More than 60 IAM members who work at that facility make specialized valves for municipal water systems. The IAM's Midwest Territory and District 8 are working to ensure our members get the assistance they need, including counseling. Flags at IAM headquarters are at half staff, and a vigil was held this past Sunday to honor the lives lost. Another IAM member was injured in the shooting and has been released from the hospital, and we wish that member a speedy recovery. Six members of the Aurora Police Department were also injured. Five officers have been released from the hospital. The sixth officer has not been released but is reportedly okay. Now, Henry Pratt's parent company is covering funeral expenses and medical expenses. A GoFundMe page will provide additional financial support for the victims. For more information, you can search for the Aurora Strong Community Fund, and we hope that many people will support this fund and the Aurora, Illinois community. Well, February is Black History Month, and we've been honoring our members and others who have contributed to the success of our union or their communities. It's a time to recognize our members, our union leaders, and those that came before us, on whose shoulders we stand today. Diane Babineau was one of the first women and the first Black woman to join the Machinists Union's Executive Council. She was a general vice president from 2013 to 2017 after serving as chief of staff to the international president. Diane started out in MNPL and later worked in several departments, including legislative, research, women's, young workers, and human rights departments. She retired as a general vice president after 45 years with the IAM. Well, Viola Desmond has been called the Rosa Parks of Canada. She's the first woman outside of royalty to be on Canadian currency. In 1946, Desmond was on a business trip and bought a theater ticket to watch a movie from a seat of her own choosing. But when she sat down, she was told she couldn't sit there, that she had the wrong type of ticket, an upstairs ticket. Well, she tried to change her seat to a ticket downstairs, but she was refused. She was arrested. She spent a night in jail, was fined and charged with failing to pay a 1 cent difference in tax. Well, in 2010, the Lieutenant Governor of Nova Scotia issued her a posthumous free pardon. So she finally got her name cleared. Well, Lucy Parsons was an American labor organizer and powerful orator. She's been called a militant writer and an agitator. She was born in 1851 to an enslaved woman in Virginia and co-founded the Industrial Workers of the World. Well, the Women's Leadership Class is taking place this week at the William W. Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center here in Hollywood, Maryland. We are on location with the students who are going to tell us all about the class, their experiences, and let us know what it's like changing the demographics of our union. We are going to start out with Kareen Hillier, who is joining us. Thank you for being here, Kareen.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit first about where you're from and what you do.
I'm from Toronto, Canada, and I'm a certified ramp agent for Menzies Aviation Canada Limited out of Toronto Pearson International Airport Terminal 3.
Now, for all of the viewers out there in the general public who don't know our lingo, tell us, when you go to work, what is it you actually do?
I basically load and offload all your suitcases. Yeah.
So thank you for being so gentle. So, at home, when you were thinking about coming to the Wimpasinger Center, what was it that made you want to take this class?
As being a woman, I wanted to become a stronger union activist. And so far, it's going good.
What has the class been like so far this week?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
What were some of the things you've talked about? Or what stood out to you?
What stood out to me? Women's rights, women's history, also understanding our Constitution and ritual.
And you are actually almost done this week.
Yes.
Because you only have a couple more days.
Sure.
What do you hope to do when you go back to your local?
To gather all the information that I've been understanding and learning and being trained with this week and taking back to our members, and hoping to get more members involved, especially when it comes to our union monthly meeting in attendance and attending more union rallies together. Yes.
What do you think it's going to take to attract more women to become more involved?
Interest. And with all the pamphlets, and maybe get some photocopies and get them out there.
Now, do you currently have a women's committee?
Not at present, but I'm determined to start one ASAP.
All right. We're so glad you're going to do that. We're always happy about that. Anything else you'd like to mention about your local and what the, you know, how many women are there? I meant to ask you that when you were talking about your job. Like, you know, how many women do what you do?
There's about four of us right now. Our chief steward, Amanda, is amazing. And myself, including two other females, but we'd like to get more ladies involved out of our local.
Well, we are so thankful that you're here.
Well, thank you for having me.
We're glad that you're here. We're hoping that you go back and attract a lot more women to get involved.
I sure will.
So we are so excited.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Great.
It was a pleasure. Okay.
Well, you two can join the conversation. So please join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube.
Yes.
And you can make a comment, even if you're watching the replay, no problem at all. And let us know what you think. If you have a women's committee, if you do have a women's committee, what have you been doing? Let us know in the comments. If you ever have taken this class before and you've come to the Wimpasinger Center, what was it like for you? And just let us know. You can like, share, comment on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. YouTube even has a live chat feature that we're trying to get people to use. So let us know what you think. This is your chance to activate your voice about women's leadership in your local and district. So we have a lot of women that we're talking to, and we are bringing in Laura Schmidt is here, and she is from a state that I spent a lot of time in Ohio. So go Bucks.
Yay.
Any other Ohioans in here?
Yes.
All right, go Bucks. All right, so first, Laura, tell us a little bit about what area of Ohio you're from and what you do.
Okay, I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I work at GE Aviation in Evendale. I'm in Local 912, where I'm a trustee and a shop steward on second shift, and I'm an instrumentation mechanic.
Okay, so what does that mean? When you go to work, what do you do?
So we work in development with the engines, and we manufacture and apply instrumentation to those engines and parts and materials, and that includes temperatures, pressures, strain gauges, and thin film application.
Are there a lot of other women that do what you do, or?
I'm one of two in my trade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's all I can say is wow. So how is it as a woman and one of the few women there doing what you do?
It's great. It's a great environment to work in as a female. I have 20 guys on second shift, and they're all, you know, kind of like my dads or my uncles, or, you know, just it's a really good, supportive group of people to work with.
Do you feel like they treat you like one of the guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
That helps. What do you hope to do when you go back to your local?
I want to get more involved in our women's committee and, you know, hopefully inspire the next generation of young women that are coming into the trades. Let them know that we're here and they can do it and they can get involved.
Well, we wish you luck.
Thank you.
And I know that after your lead, you know, hopefully a lot more women will get involved, and we appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So Laura from the Buckeye State is going to go back to her local, and she's going to get involved with the Women's Committee. And we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
So we're interviewing women from the Women's Leadership Class here at the William W. Wimpasinger Center, if you're just joining us. And we're just talking to them a little bit about their jobs and what they do and trying to see how they can attract more women to get involved with what they're doing. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
And please comment. You know, if you have a women's committee, let us know. You could retweet us or hit the reply button on Twitter if you want. Hit the reply button and let us know what you think about the Women's Leadership Program if you have already taken this class. There's also an advanced program coming up, and we're going to tell you a little bit about that later on as well. But they have lots of different speakers that come in and different instructors, and they talk about a number of different subjects. And we have Tracy Drummond joining us now. And Tracy is one of the newest employees, if you look back over the past few months, here at the Wimpasinger Center. First, tell us a little bit about what your title is and what you do when you were hired. What were you hired to do?
So I am the Education Resources Representative, and I was hired to I'm more behind the scenes, managing different kinds of content. So I'm in charge of the library. I am helping put content into a learning management system for our participants, and I'm also working with our social media. So lots of different hats.
Now you're speaking tomorrow to the Women's Leadership Class. What will you be teaching them about?
So in a previous life, I was archivist of the Southern Labor Archives at Georgia State University. And I'm going to be talking to the ladies tomorrow about how to preserve their own history and how to really consider the work that they're doing as they are doing it as one day being useful to folks who are doing research and trying to learn about women in the labor movement, you know, to sort of start thinking about that today and to talk to them about different ways that they can document the work that they're doing.
That is wonderful, because there's so many times when we are in the communications department or even people in different locals who are interested in knowing who was the first woman in my local,
right.
Who was the first woman president. I thought the other day, like, wow, it would be great to find out who was the first woman member of the IAM.
Right.
And a lot of times we know who some of the first were, but we don't know exactly who the first one was. We know who some of the first women business reps were. But it's fascinating, and when it's happening, we don't always think about preserving
it. Everybody's so busy with their day-to-day work and getting things done, like organizing or, you know, working on a new contract or whatever. It's you know, and even your day-to-day jobs and managing those with your families and social life and everything. So it's really just a way to sort of provide some resources and also to provide different types of ways that people can document themselves. Not everyone's going to necessarily want to do it in the same way. So
I'm going to give you a little open mic.
Okay.
If you want to talk to any of the locals that are out here, like, what advice do you have for them if they want to start documenting and they have no clue where to start?
Right. I would say to start by talking to some of the older or retired members that you might have. They're always great sources of info. You can put together from that a timeline, if there were strikes, if there, you know, have been any other big happenings at the local, or maybe you can even talk to folks who were there when the union was first organized, right? So start by talking to people, then try to figure out where your documents are. You know, do you have a room at your local with a bunch of boxes in it and nobody's been through those boxes in a while, you know? Or maybe your local's already donated some stuff to an archive. So just try to figure out where your documents are. And then see what's missing, and then try to start building it from there. And you can do that through writing up something. You can do that through journaling, which Julie Fritchin recommended. We were talking about that not too long ago. And oral histories are great, too. Recording life histories with folks who have been in the local for a while.
It's almost like your family members, where your kids and you have these great conversations with your great-grandparents or your grandparents, and then 30 years later, you're like, oh, I wish I had recorded that.
Right. So just giving people the resources they need so that they can start to think about how they want to do that work and the best way to preserve it. And it's just, you know, it's sort of one of those, the more you know things. Some people don't think about it, but let's start having a conversation about it so that it stays on everyone's mind while they are doing that work, you know, male, female, whoever in the union, you know, has a great history to tell. Every local has a great story. So that's what I found out as an archivist. Every local has a great story.
What are some ways that some of the locals are preserving it? Are some of them putting it in book form, or are they putting it on their websites?
So, lots of different ways. And there's actually a class that's taught here every other year, and this year it's going to be in October, called the Local Lodge History Project. And for that, we bring in a couple of folks from a local, and we spend a week. We teach them how to do oral history interviews. We teach them how to take care of their records. We teach them how to, if they want to do an exhibit. We had one local in Canada do a great little labor walking tour of their city. We've had people do PowerPoint presentations, oral histories. So there are lots of different ways to tell the story of your local. And one great thing, too, is as you have new members coming in, if you are able to give them a pamphlet or a brochure or show them an exhibit, it you know, can really connect them to the work that the union has been doing, not just since they started the job, not since they joined the union, but since the, you know, since the local was started. So
this will be great, because once everything's in place, it'll be easy to pull from all the information you need,
right,
if you need something for Black History Month or for Women's History
exactly.
Month.
Exactly. There's so many places you can take the research and the work that folks could do, right? So not just for women's history, although that's very important and underdocumented in many labor archives, but it can be applied to everyone. Yeah, and I will also be, if I may, make
a little go quick for it. Note. I was going to ask you anything else.
Yeah. So the women's convention, we're all really excited about the women's convention, which is coming up in early April, and I will be doing a workshop. So if you aren't able to make it here for the women's leadership class this year for this info, it will be one of the workshops offered at the women's convention.
That's great. So. And that'll be April 3rd to the 6th. I think. Did I get that right, Rhonda?
Yes.
Okay, so we're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Me very
too.
Much. That'll
very
be
much.
In Las Vegas. So thank you so much for stopping by. I look forward to all of the information that is gathered in each local.
Yes.
That'll be wonderful. Thanks.
Yeah,
so
thanks for having me.
Yeah. So if you guys, there's the dates, and it's April 3rd to the 6th, and it's going to be at Bally's, and the theme is Women Rising, Unite the Fight. This should be a great conference, getting all these women together, and we expect probably people from all over North America to travel for that. Great. So now, next up, we're just playing musical chairs here. We're having people in and out, in and out. We have Julie Fritchin here now, who works here at the Wimpasinger Center, and I wanted Julie to come in to tell us a little bit about some of the courses that you've taught in the past, and just What are you passionate about? What are the ones that you really enjoyed teaching?
I have a whole bunch of classes I really love teaching here, but I do love teaching in this women's program. It's really surreal to me because in 1996 at the Grand Lodge Convention in Chicago, it was one of my first conventions. It was one of the first time I ever went to a convention, and it was the Grand Lodge Convention. One of the items on the agenda for that convention was establishing a women's department. In 1996 was the convention that established a women's department. And, you know, me and my sisters from my local got up to the mic to endorse and support establishing a women's department. And it was really kind of, it's really special and kind of neat that I am now here teaching in the women's classes.
And you never expected that, right?
No, in 1998, we had our first women's program here at the Wimpasinger Center, and I was a participant. My local sent me. So being in the seats where my sisters are this week, I was there. And now being able to instruct the sisters, the future sisters, our future leaders, it's just like really, it hits home. It's like just kind of full circle.
Your reaction to something? We looked back, I have a timeline, I didn't bring it up here, but it said that women were first initiated into the IAM in 1911.
Uh-huh.
And we had our first women, actually Doris Cervantes, in 2012, joined the Executive mm-hmm. Council as our General Secretary Treasurer. But if you look at those dates, 1911 to 2012, that's more than 100 years. Like,
That's just astounding.
We did it. We had women that were officially our constitution allowed in 1911, but we had, and it's part of archiving and the history, right? We did have women that were members of our organization, if you will, because they worked in locations that per contract they had to be brothers, they called them, mm-hmm. in the union shop. They worked in these places, and you know, it's kind of underdocumented, like Tracy said a little bit. But one name that rings a bell is a woman named Nellie Burke in the 1800s that worked in a shop that, because of the fact that she worked at this shop, had to belong to the unit, but wasn't officially, if you will, covered under the Constitution.
Wow.
Those are in some of our journals, and you could read, you know, some of our journals mention some of these items in the library.
What were some of the auxiliaries? Because were they just separate lodges that were just for women? Because I was reading about some of the women's auxiliaries.
The auxiliaries, and I don't know 100% accuracy, everything that was involved, but some of the auxiliaries, in the early days, the women were separated into kind of their own local type of a situation. So they were kind of separated.
Okay, so it was kind of segregated.
I don't know the makeup, okay. You know, off the top of my head, but the auxiliaries were a little bit separate from the locals.
I'm just fascinated by
this
history. I don't
know a whole heck of a lot of how the operation works.
That's okay. You know more than me.
It's the underdocumented stuff, right?
Yeah.
A little bit, so.
Wow. Well, is there anything else that you would like to say to any women that aren't here this week, but they're thinking about taking some of these classes?
Well, you know, women's issues, you know, we say women's issues when we bargain and we teach class, but they're really family issues. Our issues affect families from literally birth to almost retirement and death. You know, our workers' issues, when we work as working women, we have to take breaks in our service sometimes to have our children, which in turn may affect our retirement, which may in turn affect our children having to take care of us because we don't have adequate retirement and at the end of our life. So these issues aren't just women's issues, they're family issues, and they can affect our families literally all the way till our children are grown. So it's something that we all should care about and take care of and take a look at, because it's important.
Okay, bringing that up, I know we're coming up on Equal Pay Day. So Equal Pay Day this year, I think, is April 2nd. So I'm going to talk about that for a minute, because the next Equal Pay Day, that's a Tuesday, and that date symbolizes how far into the year women must work to earn what men earned in the previous year. And this is Lilly Ledbetter here, who is from the Lilly Ledbetter Act. It was named after her. That Equal Pay Day was originated by the National Committee on Pay Equity in 1996 as a public awareness event to illustrate the gap between men's and women's wages. Now, since the census statistics showing the latest wage figures aren't available every year until late August or September, this organization, NCPE leadership, decided years ago to select Tuesday as in April as Equal Pay Day. And Tuesday itself was selected to represent how far into the next work week that women must work to earn what men earned the previous week. Now, that date is also selected to avoid religious and holidays and other significant events. But because women earn less on average than men, they must work longer for the same amount of pay. And that wage gap is even greater for most women of color. So we are bringing these issues into the forefront, not only in the classroom, but we're hoping that women take these issues back to their locals and educate other women. And that's what it made me think of that with when Julie was talking about, you know, the pay affecting the entire family. Because if you have a two-parent household and two incomes, and then you take away one, or one's not making what they should, that affects it. And then you talk about single women, mm-hmm. who are single mothers not making what they should make. And a lot of people just don't understand, especially when you have the same job that you're doing.
Well, and if you think about it, the pay gap doesn't just affect our working lives, it affects our retirement. If we're not making the same amount at work, how do we fare in retirement? If we don't have enough money to live in while we're working, how are we gonna have enough money to live in retirement? So it's the pay gap isn't just about, you know, working today. It carries you through life to your retirement and affects your retirement. So And if you haven't noticed, that is one of my favorite classes. I'm really a retirement geek, and I love that stuff. But I think I'm one of the only ones around here that likes the pension courses.
But you know what is so important? I remember when I first started working, and I was in Ohio, and I think I was really green. And the first full-time job, I was like 22 or 23 years old. And I remember one of the older workers came over to me, and he's like, hey, you should get involved with the 401k. And I'm like, I'm not making enough money to put towards that. And he's like, do whatever you can. If you could do 1%, just do 1%. I do remember him talking to me, and it took me 2 more years, but I finally started what he said. I did 1%, and I think the next year I did 2%. And I just tried to, you know, increase it each year. But is that one of the hardest groups to reach, are the, you know?
Well, we really need not only that, but we need the three-legged stool, right? Defined contribution, 401k. We need a defined benefit, which is a traditional defined benefit that we get from a good union contract a lot of times. And the third leg of the stool is Social Security, and you really need all three legs of that stool to live a comfortable retirement. And, you know, if they're starting to chop off the legs of the stool, where are we going to be? You know, where are we going to be? You need all three. So it's important to think about, and it's important to think about while you're young, because when we're young, we don't always think about that stuff,
That's true. You're right. So. And the defined benefit, we're trying to save that.
That's right. You know. That's absolutely crucial.
That's strong. Yeah. Well, thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to mention?
No.
Are you coming to the Women's Conference?
I will be at the Women's Conference, and I will be conducting a workshop.
Excellent. Do you know what it is yet?
It's mentoring.
Okay, great. That is so important.
Yeah, it's mentoring.
We need to prepare the next generation. So thanks so much, Julie. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
So if you're just joining us, we are down at the William W. Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center in Hollywood, Maryland. And there's a women's class going on right now, a women's leadership class. In the fall, there's going to be a women's advanced program, and we'll tell you about that in a few minutes. But we're just giving you an idea of what the class is about, what issues women are talking about for our women members. And Rhonda Rogers is joining us now.
Again.
Yeah, she is our IAM Women's Young Workers and Human Rights Director.
Yes.
And we're focusing on women's issues right now, but you are doing a lot of work getting ready for this women's conference
coming up. Yeah, but we're going to get it done, and it's going to be a great conference.
Do you want to give us a little preview of what you can release so far?
Because
Julie mentioned there's some workshops, and the one that she's going to be talking about, mentoring.
Yeah, Julie and Tracy and Mary McHugh here from the Wimpasinger Center are all doing workshops. So that's great, because I absolutely love my sisters here, my brothers too. I love them here at the Wimpasinger Center, and I'm really excited whenever I get to come back down here.
There's so much knowledge here.
There's knowledge, and I get to see all of our members. I miss that. I miss seeing and interacting with our members, and we've got such a phenomenal group of sisters here this week. I mean, I don't know if you can, like, turn a thing around and let everyone see them, but they're awesome. So that's been fun. But
because we have about 25, 30 women here this week.
Yeah.
That's great.
Uh-huh. Yeah, from all over the place. The United States, Canada, all over.
What have they been talking about? Because they've been here for 4 days, right? Uh-huh. What have they been going through in the curriculum?
Well, one of the things that's really important to me is that my sisters learn to use their voice so that they are, when they go back to the local, they're not afraid of speaking up at a union meeting, of giving a committee report, of running for office, any of those things. Statistically, a woman has to be asked 7 times before they'll run for office, take on a project.
That amazes me. You know, you would think it would be maybe 2 or 3 times, but 7 times.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's because we don't have the confidence in ourselves to do that. And so that's the one thing that I want our sisters to know, is that your voice is valued, and in this organization it is needed. So, and our international president will agree with that. So it was his idea to have the women's conference.
And we're doing it. And it's
We're almost in March now, mm-hmm. so it's a little bit over a month.
I know. I can't believe
it. It'll be happening.
I can't believe it.
For women watching at home and men, is there still time to register?
There is. There's plenty of time to register. The registration fee is $100, and the early registration goes until March 3rd. Then it bumps up to $125, but you can still register up until the conference or until we fill the rooms. So I hope to see a lot of our sisters there. Brothers can come too, but it's really important. And one of the things that I do want to say about this conference, a lot of times we have to decide at the local lodge meeting how to spend our money. And we never have enough. I don't care what local you come from, whether you have a healthy treasury or you don't. And so sometimes when we're deciding what's important and what's not, these kind of programs, this kind of a convention, people are like, well, it's just a women's conference. And I just want everyone to understand how important this conference is. There's going to be a lot going on here. It's not just going to benefit the sisters. It's going to benefit your entire local and the entire union movement. 50% of the workforce is women. And if we don't have strong women in our union, how are we going to grow our union? So I just like for anyone out there listening to think about that. And please encourage your sisters to come to this conference.
I know I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but the latest figures that you've seen, I know our membership changes, the demographics change, but the last figure that you saw about how many women are in the IAM, do you remember what it could be?
I believe it's 28%
now?
Of our membership is women. That's a lot of sisters.
That's growing, yeah.
Yeah.
And we see more and more women, more women presidents even, in our locals, which is great to see, especially when a woman sees another woman leading the local.
Right.
You know, it's another moment of, wow, if she can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, we need different perspectives and different opinions in order to move forward. A lot of the things that we do aren't necessarily working as well as they did before, especially if we're looking at organizing campaigns. Our organizing department has completely redone what they're doing because the company does their research and they look at, okay, this is typically what they're going to do, and they kind of use it against it. So you've always got to be on your toes and always thinking about what the next thing is that you need to do. And so when you use everyone's perspective, you get a little bit better idea of different things that you can do. And it just makes us stronger.
Now you have, this is the women's leadership class this week, but you also have a women's advanced program.
We do.
That is coming in October.
Yes.
How is that different from this program?
We'll tell you when we finish the curriculum.
Well, we have the dates, because we have it here. It's October 27th to November 1st.
Right. I can tell you the ideas.
Okay.
And this is one of the things that Julie and Sister Dora Cervantes and I have been doing is we've been getting our master's degree at Empire State College. And we decided together to kind of go through this women's and gender studies program. And so when we finish, we'll also have a certificate in that as well. And we've learned so much about history and issues and things like that. So when we do the advanced leadership, it's going to be more of like a special topics kind of a class where we have courses on issues that, you know, that affect working women and working families. And so we'll kind of get more in depth into those issues.
So it's nice to know that after completing the leadership class that there is somewhere else to continue the studies here at the Wimpasinger Center.
Yeah, so we're still developing the curriculum. It will be ready by October.
You also deal with young machinists.
I do.
And young workers.
Yeah.
What's going on with them this year?
I'm really excited about our young workers. We've got several in this class, but we have a young workers program, and typically we hold that program in May and in September. And we bring our young workers in, and we teach them how to form committees and teach them about the union movement and all of that. So what we're going to do in May, for all of you young workers out there that are listening that have been through the Young Workers Program, we're going to do a class, and hopefully Ed Manhart, who is with the Retirees Department, and I, and on a later date, can come in and explain it in detail. But we are doing in May, we're going to do a Young Workers Program and a Retirees Program, and we're going to put them together. And so we're going to have the young workers and the retirees working together on a project. And that class is open to any young machinist who has been through the Young Machinist Program. So we're real excited about it.
That just screams mentoring right there.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, we're excited.
I'm glad to see it. So, well, is there anything else you'd like to mention?
Oh, gosh.
For all the women out there watching?
Actually, what I would like to say, every time I do this class, there are a lot of people that I like to thank. Mm-hmm. And so I want to do that again. Okay. I want to thank, of course, Julie and Mary, who come in and help me teach the class, which is great, because the more, I think it's important to have a lot of women's voices speaking to our sisters. I want to thank my brother, Edmundo Osorio, because he comes in there and he teaches parliamentary procedures. He's like the only brother allowed in the class.
Edmundo, come say hi, just so we can see your face.
Come on over, Edmundo.
We don't have a camera, but don't trip. We have all these wires here. Just very carefully, we just want you to show your face. So this is Edmundo Osorio. There he is. There's Edmundo. Thank you, Edmundo.
Thank you, Edmundo. I absolutely appreciate Edmundo for coming in. Sister Doris Cervantes couldn't be here today because of the weather, but she really supports this program as well and loves all of her sisters. The staff here at the Whippasinger Center is phenomenal. They have fed us more than enough this week, kept our rooms clean, and
this is a great environment to learn in.
Cleaned up the water I spilled in our classroom. So it's just a wonderful place, and I love coming down here. And so I just wanted to say thank you to all of them.
And if anyone wants more information, you can go to the website, wimpasinger.iamaw.org. That's wimpasinger.iamaw.org. And you can look at all of the lists of the class that are available, the schedule, the calendar, their staff programs, departmental programs, all the information that you need about the classes is there.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And we have, and I know, I'm just going to tell you more. We even have negotiation prep is on the road now. Right?
It is.
So that is wonderful. That is one of our most popular programs. So this is a really great training center here. And we're so appreciative and thankful for all of the instructors that are here to giving us this great union benefit. This is a benefit of being a union member in the IAM.
Yeah. And thank you and Jill for coming down here on the road
to do
this special show for
us.
This
is fun on the road to actually be here. I think this is the way it should be, where we come down here where the classes are taking place.
Yeah,
so wonderful.
I enjoy it.
Great. So. Well, thank you, Rhonda. I appreciate it. You can join us and let us know what you think about how to reach and recruit women members by commenting on this video. What have you done in your local? Do you have a women's committee? How has it been going if you do? You know, what has worked for you? If you've attended a women's leadership class in the past, what stood out to you? So comment now to activate your voice about all our rosy machinists across North America. And we'd like to hear from everyone watching at home, even during the replay. I know we have people out on the West Coast that are watching during their lunch breaks as well. They let us know. Because we always start at 3 p.m. Eastern, but it's noon Pacific out there.
Yeah.
So any comments, Joe?
There's a lot of comments.
There's a lot of comments. If you want to put one up, Joe, I'll read it.
He has to read through all the comments and see. I didn't have my computer right in front of me because usually I can skim through them. But we want to thank everybody that has been commenting throughout the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your interaction so much. So I'm just going to give him
There's
a second.
There's so many good ones, I can't pick one.
Oh, my gosh. Pick anyone. We'll see. And people are we're not forgetting about the people on Twitter, so thank you for the retweets. Thank you for hitting the reply button and talking to us on Twitter as well, because we have so many people in different places, and we're trying to reach our members in all of our different social media channels. And we even have Instagram there. Hey, Instagram. Our Instagram story, we do it when we can have people that are either in the studio or not remote interviews. But Instagram kind of gets behind the scenes. So we have that story that will last for the next 24 hours. So far, there's one, and here's where my contacts are like really being challenging, because I have to peek in
they
to see this.
They can't see us doing this.
It says, no, our instructors have been amazing. Thank you so much. Who said that, Joe?
Leah.
Thank you, Leah. Leah is right behind one of the cameras, so thank you, Leah.
I'm helping you.
Oh, look, he made the font bigger. Thank you so much, Leah. We appreciate it. See, I'm so glad that Joe doesn't have the camera on me now, because I can lean in and see. Oh, that's great.
We'll do one more.
Okay, hello, all my brothers and sisters from my local IM 2413, Toronto, Canada. You are all amazing. Hugs and kisses. Thank you so much, Corrine. We appreciate you being here. So keep the comments going. We really appreciate the interaction. And thank you to all of you who have shared our video as well. We're going to let you know what's coming up here on the Machinist Union calendar of events. We always end our show that way, so you know what's coming ahead. So here we go. We're going to start with labor education, which is what we've been talking about. Registrations are due March 8th. For the basic communicators class at the Wimpasinger Center. And IAM members have until March 11th, which is my birthday, to sign up for the retirees education and strategy and young workers strategy.
Which will be combined.
All right, combined. So those two there that you see that are due March 11th will be combined. Thank you, Ron. I'm glad she's sitting right next to me. So just visit the website, wimpasinger.iamaw.org. That's WIMPISINGER, wimpasinger.iamaw.org. The list of Machinist State Council meetings are here. Wrapping up tomorrow is the Indiana Council of Machinists in Indianapolis. Illinois' meeting started today, February 20th, in Springfield, along with New Mexico, which meets in Santa Fe. Nebraska's meeting is February 24th in Lincoln. And you have a chance to showcase your work and win some cash. Submit your pictures of IAM members in the workplace, at a union function, or performing community service for a chance to win a cash prize and have your photo featured in the 2020 IAM calendar. The entry deadline is April 1st, so you have some time. You can take pictures now. You can take pictures all throughout March. Now, that date, April 1st, is also the deadline for the newsletter and website contest, so get your entries in over the next month. The Transportation Conference. Oh, no, I can't forget the Women's Conference. Women's Conference, April 3rd to the 6th. Women Rising Unite the Fight is the theme. That's at Bally's Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. The Transportation Conference is April 8th to 11th in Las Vegas. And the Legislative Conference meets May 6th to the 8th in Washington, D.C. So that was a lot. We hope you all got it. Just keep a pen and pad or get your notes going. My boss will kill me if I don't mention this. The Communications Conference is in June. That is going to be in June from the 4th to the 6th. That is also in Las Vegas at Planet Hollywood. That's where we teach you how to activate your voices, and that's where the name for this show came from, Activate Live. We want you to activate your voices, become labor activists on any topic that you want to talk about. So thank you so much. That's it for this episode of Activate Live. Join us next week when we take an in-depth look at the Machinist Union's Employee Assistance Program. And you can watch on the same social media channel at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And if you like what you've seen, or if you've learned something, please share this video.